Well, this was done, or the inspiration for this was from the end of the feast originally. And you notice we have that period of time when we end the feast and when we have Passover. It's a very long period, about 6 months, where we have the opportunity to practice what we've learned through the year. So from the feast, we had 10 days of instruction, the equivalent of over 2 months of separate Sabbath instruction in the Word of God. So we have to ask ourselves, now that we're here in the midst of this six-month period, how will we use this information to focus on the plan of God in the coming year, or what's left of it? Now, focus has a definition of the center of interest or activity, or the state of quality of having, what I like the best part, producing a clear visual definition. And I'd like you to focus in on this. How will we focus on a clear visual definition of God's plan for us and our family? It's not just us, it's our family. Will we rumble through the year with no sense of clear direction and purpose in the church? Will the urgent things of this life consume our time and focus? The day-to-day things of life can tend to tie us up. So to get this in perspective, let's go to Matthew 13. You're all familiar with this scripture. Matthew 13. And I want you to mark out verses 22 and 23. We're going to end in 23 and then ask a question to bring us back to 22. On 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. So why is it some will produce 30, some will produce 60, and others will produce 100, or possibly none at all? Why is the difference between us? We all have the Spirit. We all have the understanding. So what makes this difference between us? Well, let's go back to 22. Let's take a look at 22. This is what causes us to stumble. Now, he who had received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is what we have to be so cautious of, especially now when I saw that letter from Mr. Jackson. Oh, my. It was awful. There must have been a list of, maybe 20 people that have terrible problems now. Truly a time of testing. So let's take a look. What steals our time? That verse 22 tells it what steals our time. Blurs our focus. It's verse 22. And the urgent things of life. We tend to change our focus to those things in the world rather than focusing on the plan of God. It's all a matter of how we allow our focus and how we prioritize our time. So with this background in mind, Matthew 13, 22, and 23, what should our focus be? So we'll define it. Our focus is to prioritize our time to build a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Why? Why do we want this relationship? Because it is this relationship that we will take through the grave. It's the relationship God will use to bring not just us, remember we have a purpose, not just us, but all of mankind into the family of God. So today we're going to look at 3 points on building our relationship with God. The first is to focus or align our plans with the plan of God. The second is to focus to understand how God wants us to prioritize our time. And finally, we're going to focus on how we fit into the plan of God. We're going to take a look at those 3 things. Let's take a look at the first point. We must focus our plans to align with the plan of God. This is what it's going to come down to. We're all familiar with the plan of God. It plans to renew, think about what this is saying, this plan. It renews man from physical to divine. Pretty amazing plan. God possesses such a marvelous mind. When God calls a person and begins to open his or her mind, a mind begins to understand the thoughts of God. He or she understands that they are not living a life the way God desires. They live under the law of God. So if you know you're breaking, you don't even know you're breaking the law, but you think that you're living a godly life, but then you suddenly God calls you and you suddenly realize, no, I'm not. The plan of God reveals what we can be once we hear and understand it. What is it? Let's go to Psalm 82. We're all familiar with this, Psalm 82. But let's read it. Psalm 82, good old verse 6. I said, you are gods. Now, this is a pretty amazing statement that's here in front of us. I said, you are gods, and all of you, listen, are the children of the Most High. But verse 7, I want you to circle this, because this is our caveat. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Oh, that's the worst part. So the plan of God thinks large, even with this caveat. So we know we exist, that he says very clearly, we will become gods. The plan of God thinks large. He thinks in a macro sense. So we must do the same. He sees the end from the beginning, and he sees us as what we can be completed, gods. How can this be? How is it possible? I ask, I will be God? I mean, the world, when they first hear this in their mind, they must ask this question. I'm going to be a God. I will live eternally. That's crazy. It's not possible to happen. But what does God say? My thoughts and my ways are not your thoughts and my ways. And I know the end from the beginning, and I will tell you what it is. When we repent and are baptized and receive the Spirit of God, we begin to understand how God thinks. We begin to see, hear, and to understand the plan of God requires that we use our time that we've been given to build a relationship with Him. That plan is one of renewal of not just us, but all of mankind, from physical to divine. Now let's take a look at that spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You're familiar with this one also. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see what God gives us. Pretty amazing thing that he puts in our head. Chapter 2. And let's read verse 10 to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through what? His Spirit. For the Spirit, it searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now drop down to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, and you see there's one spirit, but the spirit of his from God, that we might know or understand, or I'm revealing to you, the things that have freely been given to us by God. So to understand that I have a plan, that I'm going to take you from physical to divine. This is the plan. You shall be God, and you shall live eternally. This is what he reveals to us through his spirit. Pretty amazing stuff. But then we have the caveat in 82, 6 and 7. Oh, but you will die like men. So what do we do with this? Since our lives are limited, we begin to understand we only have so much time. So we see the limitation to develop this relationship to gain eternal life, to become God. Part of the plan clearly says that we will die. It doesn't matter. We will all die, no matter how young we are, how old we are. Somewhere along the line, we're going to die. So let's take a look at that. We need to understand there are two parts to our creation as God. There's the physical and there's the spiritual. Let's take a look at that. We're still in Corinthians. Let's go to 15, 1 Corinthians 15. A little bit over, not very far. And we're going to read verses 35 and 36. Then we're going to read over on 46, all right? So here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 and 36. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? So we all die. This is all going to happen to us. So how is God going to raise us up? And with what body do they come? What will you be when you raise up? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. So there we have it. I mean, we know we will all die. But what happens? Let's go over to 46, verse 40, 1 Corinthians 15, 46. However, the spiritual is not first. You notice it's not first. But the natural, that's us, the carnal, and afterwards the spiritual. So we can see God clearly lays out in the plan there are two parts to it, the physical and the spiritual. The resurrected as spirit, as a son or a daughter is revealed to us by this plan in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's back up a little bit over to chapter 15 again, and let's look at 51. We're right here. 51. Are we ready? All right, so this tells us what the spiritual part is now. We know the natural. That's us here now. We're here now, and we're going to be changed to this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead, that's us, will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible shall put on incorruption. So we're changed from corruptible to incorruptible. And the mortal, that's what we are now, we die, must put on immortality. There's our eternal life. It's a pretty incredible plan when you think about these things. I will be God. I will live eternally. You're crazy. Tell that to the world. That's what the world's going to say. Now, let's see at the very end, what do we wind up being? Now that we've read this, what do we wind up being? We wind up becoming a copy of Jesus Christ. Not only will you be God, not only will you be eternal, but you will be a copy of Jesus Christ. How is this possible? You are crazy. That's what the world will say. If you tell this to somebody on the outside, they will say, you are crazy. Since we know we have a limited time, we see we need to shift our priority and our focus on this end. But think about it. In the world, people can be prisoners of their thoughts. Think of the world's traditions. Do you know grandma with Christmas? Do you know where New Year's, Easter, Valentine's Day, and Halloween? People are not going to give these things up very easily. And when God calls people, they have to give these things up in the world in order to use our time to build a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Because remember, it is that relationship we will take through the grave. If we think small, we will think what we don't have. If we think large, we will think and see what we do possess, the plan of God. It's in our minds. It's in our heads. If we think small, we'll think the plan is impossible. You're crazy. But if we think like God, we will think of what we can do, and God knows this about us. What can we do physically right now? Well, let's go back and see what history tells us. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. I always like this. God knows this about us. He knows what our head can do. Genesis 11. Now, this is about the old Tower of Babel. But think about it. Genesis 11 and verse 6. And the Lord said... Now remember, these are physical people with a physical mind, with a physical end. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, so they think as one. And I want you to keep that word one in your head. And they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. So think about it. If man without God can accomplish this physically by what he thinks... We who have God by our side, who are given his spirit, what can we accomplish spiritually? I can be God. I can have a divine nature. I can live eternally. If we understand and believe the plan of God, we can become God in our mind. Why can't we become a son and daughter of God? Why can't we? Why can't we possess the family name of God? Why can't we become a king and a priest? Why can't we become divine? Nothing is impossible, for you are God. And God clearly has laid this out for us. This is our destiny. This is who we are. To think negatively is to limit yourself. If you think something is impossible in your mind, it will be impossible. You're crazy. If you think you will fail, you will fail. Instead, the plan of God says what? If you fail, learn from it. Get up and try again. I will not leave you. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verses 16 to 18. Get up. Repent. Get up and try again. Proverbs 24, 16, 18. For a righteous man may fall seven times, now notice this, and rise again. I fell down, I failed. Oh, I give up. You're crazy. It'll never work. But what does God say? No, no, rise up again. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy fails, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Because you don't want the same thing to happen to us. You don't want to happen to us. Our focus, we see, must be when this plan comes to pass, and it will, this plan will happen. What does the plan say will become? A divine copy of Jesus Christ. And let's verify. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. God's pretty clear what he's going to do here with us. He's even laid it out for you, scripture by scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Now notice what it says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now to notice, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of Jesus Christ. You're exactly going to think like him. You will see him. And we are told in Scripture we will see him as he is. We will be able to view Christ in front of us and not die. This will come to pass not only for us, but the plan proposes to use us, working under Jesus Christ to renew not only us, but all of humanity, the earth and creation. Remember, this thing is not just for us. It's for those who came before us and those who come after us. And all of creation awaits the revealing of the sons of God. Why? Because we will handle that also. We'll renew that also under Christ. Remember, the plan of God is to focus on renewal. When God calls a person, he repents, is bound, receives the Spirit. We have received literally God's DNA. God's mind, that spirit works with our mind, works with our spirit. We've already read it. This begins with a renewal in our mind. Let's read Romans 12. Romans 12. You know where I'm going with this. You're familiar with it. Let's go with 2. And do not be conformed by this world, but notice what it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God says very clearly, you are capable of renewing your mind with my spirit. Christ illustrated, we have Jesus Christ as an actual example, a physical mind linked with God can perform amazing works. Who did the works? Who did those works? It was God inside of Christ, and he very clearly said, my Father does the works. I and you and me, and we and them, we are one. And let's read it. Let's go to Philippians. It's not very far, a little further back. Philippians 2. Get there. You're right there, Philippians. Chapter 2 and verse 13, what does it say? Just as God worked in Christ, he's the example given to us in the amazing works he did. Change water to wine, raise the dead, walk on water. We will be able to accomplish these things. For it is God who works in you, both to will, to give you the will, the thinking and the mind part, and to do for his good pleasure. Pretty amazing stuff. The plan called for Christ to die for us, that we may be spiritually renewed. Look what the plan proposes. It's not just us, but all those who were before us and those who come after us. Just as we received a calling for God, so others before us and those after us will receive a calling. Let's go to Acts 2. Acts 2. Back a little bit. Sorry to make you work so hard. I have the same problem. I got to find it. And let's get to, let's see, it's 37, I think it is. 37. Acts 2, 37. Are we ready? Now, here is God calling. These are the people who are out in the world. You're crazy. But what does he do? He calls them. Somebody picks the phone up. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Circle that, cut to the heart. What does it mean to be cut to the heart? What happens when you hear the gospel's message? It works in your mind, and you realize that God has a set of laws that you are to live by, and you realize you're not living by those laws. You are disobeying God. You are breaking the law. What does that mean? Death. Death. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? It leads you to repentance. This very act of the calling leads. Who is this? This is God leading you to repentance. Pretty amazing stuff. All from this plan. Now, what about those who come after us? They will experience the same thing, and they'll have the same reaction. And what about those who are before us? They'll be called again, and they will have the same reaction. And what will God do? He will use us to bring them in to his family. Because we have very clearly in Ezekiel 37, you don't have to turn there, you know this, the Valley of the Dry Bones. What's he raises everyone up after the tribulation. He raises everyone up, and they will hear this message. Now think of those who come after us. After we've gone through the tribulation, and we are sitting as gods, with the mind of God, and he tells us, I need you to rule this nation over here, and I want you to bring those people to create the call. You're no longer going to be in a corner. They won't, you know, you're not going to hear the word crazy. You're not going to hear crazy anymore. They're going to go, wow, this is pretty amazing. We won't play just a small part in this renewal problem, but this renewal is on a massive scale. The law will be taught by us to everyone. Let's go to Zechariah, Minor Prophets, Zechariah. I think it's just behind Malachi, if I remember right. Here we go. Zechariah, let's go to chapter 8. My Bible was merciful with me. Chapter 8, verse 23. Are we ready? Let's back up to 22. Because remember, this is after the tribulation, after we've been raised, we've been changed to spirit, we've received the spirit, we possess it, and we have the mind of God. Many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Where will we be? Where's that temple in Ezekiel 40 built? In Jerusalem. Who will occupy those offices? We even have songs that tell. I think it's the, trumpets where it talks about. Da, 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 da. That song tells us we will possess those offices. And to pray before the Lord. Now here it is in 23. You're crazy. But these are the crazy people now. The Lord says of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language and of every nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man. That would be us. Saying, let us go up with you, for we've heard that God is with you. What will we do with the knowledge and understanding that we have? We're going to teach them. We will be incredible beings. We will be able to do amazing things. We possess amazing wisdom and knowledge. It says, you will do works like this and even greater works. We will be capable of these things. Focus our plans to dedicate time to God each day, to prioritize our day with God first. Let's go back to Ephesians again. Let's read this again. Ephesians 5 and verse 13. What do we do with the time that we have? Build a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Build it with the time we have now. You can't build it if you're dead. Redeem the time. Walk circumcised. Look around you. You're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy. Redeem the time that you have. because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? To repent, to change the direction from crazy to divine. That is the will of the Lord. And he says very clearly, it's my work to call people to believe in Jesus Christ. You will possess the same mind. What if this was our last day? We never know. We don't. We all need to make changes to achieve what God wants us to achieve. Will there be time? This is the immediacy of what God's message to us is, to build that relationship now while we have time. Do we want to live just today, or do we want to live eternally? I don't know about you, but I want to live forever. It really is a great idea. Do those things in the plan of God to accomplish this. Repent, receive, get baptized, receive the Spirit of God that you might gain the understanding and the wisdom and knowledge that he'll transfer to you. Focus our plans to remember where our wealth comes from. This is a problem today in this world. I want wealth. I want power. I want it all. But I want that first before God. Well, we forget God owns it all. What good is the wealth if you become the wealthiest man in the earth and you die? Solomon understood this, but the crazy does not understand that. I want the wealth and power now. God's over here. That's okay. I like what he says, but I don't have time to do that now. But think about it. We don't need money to spend time with God. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Let's hear what he says. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Come here, there you. Let's see what he says. Starting in verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money. We don't need money to know God. We don't need money to know God. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine, milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? You burning your life up. You don't know me. You haven't sought me. And you're burning your life up and your time up. Your time is limited. And yet you don't know who I am, nor what you will be, nor what you could be, and what you really are. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Notice what he says. You shall live. How are you going to live? By repenting and receiving the Spirit of God to understand what he's telling you. It's urgent that we understand to focus the time we have remaining on this fact. The sure mercies of David. So we can see where wealth comes from, but what good is it? We hear what he says to us. Don't chase that. Chase me. Seek me now while you're alive. You can't seek me if you're dead. If this is the last day of our life, how do we wish to spend our time? We don't know when our time runs out. So ask, what is important to God today, now? His relationship with you is the focus. Let our work be to prioritize our time to build a relationship with Father and Jesus Christ. Chase this. And if you do, you chase eternity. Remember, God wants us to renew our focus on the correct priorities. Our plans need to align with the plan of God to build that relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ, not the world, not the crazy. Point two, focus to understand how God wants us to prioritize our time. So we saw pretty much what it is. Now, there are two main scriptures in here I want you to write down. This is a broad overview. Matthew 6:33, which is we all should know. Seek first the kingdom of God and all will be added to you. And Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. Let's go to Psalm 90, take a look at that. You all know what Matthew 6:33 is, but let's go look to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Let's take a look, because that puts a cap on our time. So take the age that you are and see what God says. Verse 10, how much time do we have? The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So we see the best we have is somewhere between 70 and 80. We might live longer. We might. But God says on the average, most of us will die between 70 and 80 years. So we don't have a whole lot of time. It seems if you're 20 years old and you hear 70 or 80 years, you think, oh, man, that is a long, long way off. It's not. I'm 75 now, and I can tell you, those years, went; they just flew by. I'm sitting here now. How did this happen? But I'm there at the end. Pretty amazing things when you think about it. Keep going. So teach us, who's teaching us? God, to number our days. What do we mean to number? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does that mean to number? To count. Count. Where are you on the count? Here's your crazy. Here's divine. This is one. This is 10. Where are you on there? Where in your life are you? Think of it as a pie. Where are you on the pie? The pie is from 1 to 10 pieces. What piece are you at? Where are you in your life? You know where you were before you were called. Now those who are here who have been called know and understand where we've been, and we know where we're going. That's the best part. Scripture provides us a very good hint on how to prioritize our time. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Let's take a look at it. I want you to keep that in conjunction with Matthew 6:33. 2 Timothy, because this is what happens in Matthew 13:22. 2 Timothy, oh, I must have made an error, okay. But we're told not to become entangled in the world's affairs. Because the world will entangle us with its politics, its work, its ways, and its traditions. Now, Satan has a new tool now. It's called the net. I wish I had my phone over here. You know what? That net is amazing. It can get you involved. You can waste so much time looking at YouTube, Facebook. It makes me crazy. I'll pick the thing up in the morning and I'll start looking, and 2 hours goes by. It's like it's nothing. 3 hours. You can lose a whole day. It's amazing. We can become entangled with the world, with its politics, its work, its ways, and its traditions. Oh, man, the politics make me crazy sometimes. I just want to scream. It does. But it makes you want to jump in there and get in with it. But God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Why does he say don't do that? Because Satan is using that to attract you away from what you should be doing. It entangles our lives with useless pursuits, using the precious little time we have been given to focus on urgent tasks of the world. Of the world. That will be useless to God. You can't take anything through this life. What does God have use of anything in this world? He owns it all. He created the universe. What is it that we can possibly physically accomplish that would be so great we would want it to, that God would want to take it from the physical world into the spiritual world? But if what happens is that if we're so focused on that, our focus is lost, and so is our priority. We don't seem to understand that whatever good we might be able to do in this world, if you get rid of this dictator over here or this crazy over there, you don't think Satan has somebody that'll come up right behind him and do the same thing? This is the frustration we have. No matter what we can do, Satan can offset whatever good we can do, Satan has capable of negating it. There is a way that seems correct to man, but what is it? The end is death. We think we should do this. We think we should get involved in this. But God says, no, no, don't do that. Don't go with the crazies. Stay with me. Know me, not the world. Know me. If we get it backwards, Satan will have fooled us into trading our lives. Remember, we only have 70 or 80 years. And we're in the midst of our career, 35 or 40 years. Don't trade the remaining time you have. If you haven't been called, if you've been called, don't trade your time. Don't trade your time for the world. Because you're going to trade that time for stuff things that are useless to God. You can't take it into the kingdom. We will not be able to carry any accomplishment in this world, no matter how great, through death. God says to you, I want you to know me, know my will. I will reveal it to you. Spend your time with me. Get to know me. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Build your relationship with me. We will become one. Let's go take a look. John, you're all familiar with this one also. John 17, one of the famous prayers Christ had. John 17, verse 21. I'm sorry, on the 2 Timothy. Okay, John 17, verse 21. Let's go back to 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe, not the crazies, those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Notice the word one, unity. One in mind, one in body, and one in spirit. Think of it. That you, my Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also might be one in us. Notice. One in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. I am the way. This is the direction you need to take. You remember this proverb? There is a way that seems correct to man, but the end's death. No, that's not the way. You're going to die if you do that. You go with the crazies, you go with the world, you're going to die. Yeah, you'll have your 70 or 80 years, but you'll die. You can't take that wonderful yacht you have sitting down there in Fort Lauderdale with you. It's just never going to go. For our minds to be peaceful, we must learn to think as God thinks, where we can see the big picture, where we can see the end from the beginning, just like God, because he's revealed it to us. You will be God. You will be a son and daughter. You will be a king. You will be a priest. And you will rule with me, not for just 1,000 years, but for eternity. If you come with me, that's what the plan says will happen. We will know where we have been. What has changed in my life since God called me? Where are we today? And we have a clear focus to know where we're going. And we know we have a limited time to get there. So our focus for not only us, but our family should be on this. This will give our mind peace. We know God is using this plan and taking us there with him. He's literally taking us with him. Let's go to Philippians and see that, where he verifies it. He says, you can handle anything with me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He's here somewhere. What does he say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But notice verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We have a great future ahead of us. Think big. God has the ability to let us handle most anything that the world can throw at us. When we're not able to change the circumstance we find ourselves in, God will allow us to change ourselves to deal with the most and urgent worldly problems. Strong minds creates their circumstance. Learn from problems. There is always hope. We have Christ's example. What happened? Christ knew he was going to die for us to allow us to live. Christ knew that. He fought with his mind to keep this focus right to the end. And when the end came, what happened? God sent an angel to strengthen him so he could carry out the plan. It's pretty amazing. Can we do the same? Can we keep our focus, our priority, in the midst of trial? All these people in this letter that David Jackson sent last night, will they be able to keep it? Will we be able to, when we're in the midst of trial, can we keep this focus? Now is the time, is the focus. Renew our relationship with God while we're alive. We can't do it if we're dead. We have a limited time. Listen to what Christ says. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. That's what he says. John 14, 13. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. We cannot be broken by the pressures and urgent problems of this life. Because remember, Satan constantly throws them at us in order to change our focus, to blur it, to change our priorities. Use the time we have now to focus on what is great, our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father. Focus to understand how God wants us to prioritize times to build our relationship with Him and not the world. Now, number three, continuing on keeping our focus. Focus to know how we fit in the plan of God. Who are we? Ask yourself, do you ask who we are? Do we know who we are? How do we fit into the plan of God? Well, we've discussed it. Understand we're called the sons and daughters of the living God, and we not only are that, we possess the family name of God. It says, you shall be my sons and daughters. We are clearly called kings and priests that will reign under Jesus Christ, and he clearly calls us gods. You heard it in Psalm 82. Those who desire to God be God must think big. You got to really think big. We will give and rule over the nations of this earth. What does he say in Revelation? He who overcomes, I will give power over the nations. You will rule. The plan shows after we are changed in spirit, we will not only reign for the 1,000 years, but for eternity. Think of that. We've lived, what, 70? I've lived maybe 70, 75 years now. I'm going to live to be forever. I'm going to live eternally. I can barely manage my own household, let alone a whole nation. Pretty amazing. But that's not what he says. You will rule. And all of creation awaits the revealing of the sons of God. So it's not just the nations you'll have rulership over, but who knows how many planets God will provide for us. All of creation was made for us. We're called heirs. The plan of God shows we are the pieces, the living stones God has chosen to build an eternal house, his government, his kingdom, to rule the nations in all of creation. That's our destiny. The renewal and influence of this kingdom will not only be worldwide, but will be over all of creation. The government without end. So let's go read that. Isaiah 9. You know the scripture. Isaiah 9. 6. Let's start back at 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now remember, even though this is the Christ, this is also us. He is a son. There's also daughters. So we are sons and daughters. This is to us also. For our government will be on his shoulder, and we will rule under him. His name will be called, notice, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, why am I going to go to the next page? There will be no end. Pretty amazing. This is what we will inherit. And remember, Ezekiel 40, it has a detailed description of the temple that will be built to house this government in Jerusalem that we will occupy. Do you remember God says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Christ said this. I go and prepare a place for you. We hear it in the song. After the tribulation, we must understand we are only at the beginning. We are raised to judge, to teach, and to rule over the rest of mankind for 1,000 years, that they may receive their opportunity to access God's Spirit, eternal life, and the family of God. So we see it's not just about us. It's not just about us. The plan of God is even greater. It's about all of mankind. We are here to use our lives to prepare now for the great things of tomorrow, to bring the rest of mankind into the kingdom of God. This is how we fit into the plan of God. That's who we are. But how do we fit in now? What about now? What is our role in our present life? Can we find hints in Scripture? Yes, we can. Remember, God calls us sons and daughters. And remember 82:6, the verse says, you are gods, but you also die. So we know we have a limited time to get to know God. But how do we get to know someone? Remember what Isaiah 55 said? It said, seek me. You don't need money to seek me, but seek me when? Now. You can't seek me when you're dead. Through Jesus Christ, we may get to know him, repent, become baptized, receive the Spirit, that our mind may gain the capability to know and experience and understand God on a supernatural level. We've read that in 1 Corinthians 2. You've read it. We are linked to his mind, and our mind is influenced by his spirit. I in you, you in me, and we in them. John 17:21. You read it. We cannot take any of our physical accomplishments, no matter how great, doesn't matter what we achieve here physically now. We can't take it through death into the kingdom, but we can carry this relationship we establish with God and Jesus Christ into the kingdom. And God will use that relationship to bring the rest of mankind into his family, into his kingdom, not only in the future, but those who were in the past. Remember Ezekiel 37? He's going to raise up. Well, who's he going to use to teach those people? Us. What an incredible plan. What about other hints to show our roles now? What about other hints? Paul gives us a hint. Follow me as I follow Christ. There are two great scriptures I need you to write down here. Matthew 20:28. What did Christ say? He's the example we're to follow. I came not to be served, but to serve. These are the incredible things that we can do now, while we're alive, that God will bring us into his kingdom. Just as Christ came to serve others, so we should focus and learn this character trait and practice it. Practice it. Not just hear it, do it. We are called to use our lives to serve others. And we read in Romans 12, let's go back to Romans 12 because I want to repeat it again. Romans 12, verse 1, let's go there because it works really well with this scripture. Romans 12, verse 1, what does it say? You're called living sacrifices. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present you, your bodies. Well, what are you going to do with those bodies? You're going to serve someone else. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is called your reasonable service. God expects us to do this now, not tomorrow, now, today. What's the other one? Ephesians 2:10. You were made for good works. So you combine service with the good works and using our time, using us to serve others with good works. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Christ said it. Now let's look at other hints. Let's look at some other hints. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. There's an analogy here where God shows us building a house. This is us. 1 Corinthians 3. Let's start in verse 11 and end in verse 12. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're to build our lives on the concepts and the words of Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with, notice this, there are two types, gold, silver, and precious stone. Those are decisions, godly decisions. Or wood, hay, and straw. Those are decisions of the world. That's the spirit of Satan. We are called living sacrifice, using the lives of others, and this is a reflection of God's character. Now think about it. This is what we need to emulate. Scripture clearly shows that through our lives we'll make these two types of decisions. Godly wisdom, gold, silver, and precious stones, and those of the world, wood, hay, and straw. And at the end of our lives, our character and our relationship will be tested, good and bad. But it's this character that we take into the kingdom. How well we make those decisions now will determine our relationship. So we see the small decisions we make now on service and good works, if we make to learn those correctly in our lives now, will prepare us for the great decisions of tomorrow. So how do we make these fabulous decisions now? What do we have? 2 Timothy, what do we have? We have this Bible, 2 Timothy, and it tells us that we have this. 2 Timothy. I got a tough time with Peter, I'm with Timothy today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. You have this. We have this. This has the answers. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are, notice, able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scriptures give by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pretty amazing. So we see scripture not only provides direct instruction, but it comes complete with numerous examples of what to do and what not to do. We have Israel who's done that for us. They've already gone through history and made the mistakes for us. And we have them written down for us. Now, scripture also provides us further hints on how to make godly decisions. A wise man chooses his friends carefully. Who we surround ourselves with influences our decisions. We should desire to have others that are converted around us, for they too possess the Spirit of God. This is now. This is not tomorrow. Don't surround yourself with crazies because you'll become crazy. But if you surround yourself with converted people, it might make you crazy, but you won't be crazy. We have the example. We have Rehoboam as a example. Here was Solomon's son, one of the wisest men on earth, and he has a son that makes a very, very foolish decision by those around him who influenced him. He had the elders, and he had his own crowd. He didn't blend those together to get a series of opinions. There is a way that seems correct to man, but the way is death. This is what happens. In a multitude of counselors of safety, just think if he had had the young, the middle age, and the old. What if he put those together? What about us? What about now? Surround yourself with converted friends. A man who walks with wise men will be wise. Wisdom belongs to the age and understanding to the old. These are who you're supposed to surround yourself with. Learn to listen. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Listen to others. Do not decide immediately. Stop and think it over. Stop and think it over. Don't make a jerk decision. Don't stop and think it over, what you're going to say. Engage the mind before we engage the mouth. Because once those words are out, it's too late to take them back. Present the facts and their opinions to God. We've read that he's our counselor. He's one of the greatest counselors ever. How could you possibly not present a very difficult decision before God? Hezekiah did. What did he do? He laid down the letter before God. He said to him, I don't know what to do. God took care of it. Don't think he can do the same thing with us? I don't think so. We probably can. True wisdom takes thought, effort, and meditation to come to fruition. We are warned not to make decisions by the heart. There is a way that seems correct. Learn to use our time with wisdom. It's a choice. We saw in Psalm 90, teach me to number my days. Why do we want to number them? Because we know we only have a limited time. Where are we? Where are we? How do we prioritize our time? We already know Matthew 6:33, seek first. It tells us, prioritize like this. Set aside time to read daily, every day. We are called kings, and this is our destiny. I want to take a few minutes here. Let's go to Deuteronomy 17. Let's read what that says. Deuteronomy 17. I'm sorry, Jim and Gloria, we did this last night. So they already know the answer. Oh, I got to find Deuteronomy now. There we go, 17. All right, and I want you to highlight verses 18 and 19, because I want you to see the results of what reading does. And it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that's you and I, in the future, that's you and I, that he shall write for himself a copy of the law in the book, we should have it in our heads, from the one before the priest, the Levites. But notice what happens. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Now notice that he may learn to fear the Lord. That's one. That may be careful to observe the words of the law in these statutes. Two, that his heart may not be lifted up as his brethren. Three, that he may not turn aside from the commandment. Four, that he not turn to the right or left. And that, here's five, that he may do what? Prolong his days in his kingdom. That's now. That's for us now. What does it say about the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of wisdom. That's why you read. It takes godly wisdom to rule properly. And where does wisdom come from? God provides wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 2:6. You can go there and look at it. Remember, learning to make good and wise decisions, to judge correctly between two decisions, good in life, evil in death. What does God say? Where are we at now? God lays before us. Choose now. I lay before you good and life, evil and death. Choose. You have to make a decision today. Now, you've gotten all types of information. We learn to temper our decisions through the lens of God's word. We're not going to build our relationship with God this year with evil decisions of wood, hay, and straw. He chose poorly. But to build our relationship, we must learn to choose with decisions of good, life, the gold, the silver, and precious stones. Because that is what we will teach to those who we are sent to. He will send us the people to do these things. Okay, let's end it up. I know my time is done. So what have we learned? Focus our plans to align with the plan of God. We are all familiar with the plan. It plans to renew man from physical to divine, and a plan shows that we will become a copy of Jesus Christ. We will become God. We will be eternal. Our plans need to align with that. Two, focus on how God wants us to prioritize that time. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. Know that God is using his plan to take us there with him. We need to learn to build that relationship now. And finally, focus on how we fit in the plan of God. Our role now is to practice good and wise decisions in serving others through good works so that my Father is glorified. To use that character to build our relationship with God the Father and our brother Jesus Christ that we can take through death into the kingdom of God to be used to bring all of mankind into the kingdom.